Coach Sanderson, welcome back to Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, sir.
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Coach, you're counting down the minutes to Alabama basketball here?
Well, I watch the game. I'm watching Kentucky and LSU right now, as well as a little bit of South Carolina and Missouri. So, sure, I'll watch the game starting at 8 o'clock. I don't count down the minutes particularly, but I'll watch it.
Coach, before we get our little conversation started talking about basketball in this state and around the Southeastern Conference, let's go back and talk about Dean Smith. Losing a legend that meant a lot to Alabama basketball. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, Sonny, he was not only a great person. I liked Dean a great deal, but what a little I knew him. I knew him a little bit, and he was a real innovator. He's the first one to start the huddle at the free throw. He was the first one to be sure that his players, when they received a pass from somebody, they pointed to the guy who passed it to them to acknowledge that pass and to thank him for it. He was one of the first ones where everybody stood up on the bench when a team substituted. One of their players came off, they stood up and clapped for him. Naturally, he was probably the innovator, not the innovator, but the one that caused the 45-second clock back then. It went to the four corners, which is really a very highly skilled offense. People that don't understand basketball didn't like it. They thought it would slow down the game, but actually it was a part of the game where they really controlled the tempo and got the ball to an open man inside. So, you know, the 45-second rule, all those other things I've mentioned, he had a big part in them, already started those. His teams were very hard to prepare for. The last game I lost at Alabama was to Dean Smith's team. We did beat them here in Tuscaloosa 1 year when they had a very good team. And when I was an assistant coach, we beat them about 16 points in Dayton. In, I guess, 76 or 3 to go to the NCAA, going to the final, I guess, 16. So we had a great team back then, Leon Douglas and T.R. Dunn. So he was a heck of a guy. I thought a guy that I think cared a lot about people. He was one of these that he didn't show his emotions. I know he marched with the marchers against the Vietnam War. He was certainly a person that felt for the minorities that they needed a chance to play. Charlie Scott was somebody that he was recruiting when I think Dean may have been an assistant then, I'm not sure, but he certainly was big on the minorities having a chance, so he was a heck of a guy.
Coach, I go back, and you were talking about beating him in Tuscaloosa. Was that the game that you scored 100 points in? I think 101?
I think we did. Yeah, he had signed Peter Chilcutt, which is a disappointment to me because we thought we were going to get Peter. He was down in Utah, and Peter came from a divided family, and the dad worked at the university, but it was his stepdad, and we never could make much headway there. Or I guess you'd say North Carolina did a better job. Maybe Peter wanted to get away. I'm not sure. You have to ask him. But he called and said, you know, Wimp, I'd like to bring our team back and I'd like to bring back Peter for his senior season. I said, that'll be fine. We'd be glad to play you. And they did. And we had a very good basketball team and a good game. We got ready, had a packed crowd, and we won the basketball game 100, I don't remember what it was, 102 or something in the ice.
Coach, when I go back and look at your success, and I don't know if you do this, we do it as we go back and try to find the recipe for how you had so much success in Tuscaloosa. 10 NCAA tournament bursts, making the Sweet 16 six times, Cole McCollison, an electric atmosphere, the way that you packed the house. What did you do right? What was the key thing?
Well, we started off, I think, and we started and ended with good players. And you have to have good basketball players that are willing to play hard every night. We were fortunate enough that we had some players in the state. I had recruited for two other coaches, and I had good assistant coaches who worked very hard, Greg Polinsky, Kevin Gray, and a lot of guys, David Hobbs. So, you know, we had a good staff, and we worked very hard, and we kind of lucked into the plaid thing. It was a little bit of a, happened to wear it one time, and the media wrote about it, so we started trying to to use it a little bit. It was the only problem with the plaid part of it was that it, you know, it put too much attention on me rather than on our players. It needed more attention on our players. However, as we went along and began to use it some, began to continue to win more games, you know, people became, you know, wanted to wear plaid and do that kind of thing. So we lucked into that a little bit. But it's like any basketball program. You've got to have good players in order to be successful. And we had good players, and we were fortunate enough to get them to play at a level that gave us a chance to win.
Coach, as I go back, was that your personality, or is that somebody that you developed in? I mean, I did my research.
Well, I don't know. You know, I did a radio show with Sonny Smith, and he said I didn't have a personality, so it couldn't have been my personality. Sonny and I used to have a big time. He said, well, you don't have a personality. So maybe I did. I don't know. I think everybody coaches sort of the way that maybe the coaches their personality, the way they feel like is the best way, or just the way they are. And so I think that's fine. Everybody does things a little bit different. We try to play. I think you have to play exciting basketball in order to get the fans to come out. Let me tell you something. Fans like, they like fast break basketball, a lot of dunks. They like a lot of home runs in baseball, and they like a lot of passes in football. That's just the way fans are. If you took the average fan who came to all the games, they're not a really big basketball fan. They don't know a great deal about it. They know some about it, but not. But they know, they decide whether it's enjoyable or not when the game is over. And if the game was enjoyable, naturally, if we won, it was much more enjoyable. You know, we just tried to do things in a way and coached what we felt like was probably overdid a little bit. You know, my demeanor on the bench probably wasn't as good as it should have been. But, you know, it was a period of time where, you know, especially when you're winning big, people have a tendency to come out, and we won fairly big, and people had a tendency to come out to see us.
Coach, what is the state of SEC basketball right now? Do you think it's trending up?
I think it's better. Yeah, I do. I think it's improved some. It's not there yet. We'll have three or four teams in the NCAA. I don't think we'll have over four. Three or four, perhaps four. And certainly we have. And I think the other thing, too, that people forget now, that we've had SEC teams in the final in the championship games, Florida two or three times, won a championship, Kentucky's winning. You know, our league has presented the NCAA with a national champion in basketball. You know, the people who want to knock basketball say, yeah, but it's only Kentucky and Florida, but that doesn't make a difference. I don't see the other school, the other leagues having that. So, a league has been a little bit down, maybe you want to say that, or maybe not as competitive as it needs to be, but I think it's made some progress this year. I think it's gotten better. We've had some big wins against Oklahoma State, Iowa State. We've had some good wins by the league. So I think to answer your question, I think the league is getting better. I think the league is improving. You know, the one-and-done thing is a very difficult thing.
Coach, let's analyze Kentucky for a couple of minutes. Undefeated, 23-0 right now.
Yep.
They're handing LSU 55-44 in the second half in that game. What do you think about the Kentucky Wildcats?
Well, I think it's a terrific basketball team. And here's the reason it's terrific. They're loaded with depth, a very good quality depth. You know, when we had our good teams, even when Kentucky had theirs and LSU and Georgia, whoever, we had good players, but we didn't have the depth that this Kentucky team does. This Kentucky team, number 8 and number 9, are very, very good. So they've got very talented depth. That's the first thing. And secondly, they defend. They're not one of these basketball teams that's selfish, that tries to, you know, not really play together. They've been surprising to me the way they have, the chemistry that they've shown playing together as new guys coming from different sections of the country. They've sort of banded together. I've really been surprised to see them play so well together on the offensive end. And Cal has got them playing very hard defensively and very well defensively. And I think the interesting thing about them, is that they give you good effort every night. You know something? The better the player is, and I had some teams with two or three really good players. Everybody thought we had about 10 or 12, but we did. So with two or three, it's hard sometimes to get those guys to play hard every night. It just is. This basketball team that Kentucky has is playing hard every night. Somebody asked me last night if they thought LSU would beat Kentucky. I said, not in 100 years. LSU doesn't defend that well. They're not going to beat Kentucky. And so this Kentucky team has, even though I'm not, didn't grow up a big Kentucky fan, we tried to beat them. They have to have a lot of that. They should be given a lot of credit.
Coach, as I work our way right now, we're Coach Wimp Sanderson right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa on Tide 99.1. Do you think Alabama's getting better?
I think they were getting better. I don't know now that they, with these injuries that they have, I don't know how many guys they're going to have tonight. They've had a lot of injuries. They haven't played it well every night. I think this basketball team is better than last year's team. It's still been a struggle. One of the problems I think that they've had is that they're a little bit underskilled inside. The good three-point shots come from two things. Shooting a three-point shot on the fast break when the defense doesn't get back, or throwing it inside where the defense collapses and you throw it back to the other side. They don't really have a real skill player, and this is not taking anything away from Jimmy Taylor. He's giving good effort, blocking a lot of shots, doing a lot of things well, but they're not as skilled inside passing the basketball out of the inside as some of the other Alabama teams. To answer your question, I think before the injuries, they were better than last year. Right now, I think the jury is still out as to how they're going to be able to do the last eight games.
Coach, what is fair expectations of Alabama basketball year in and year out?
I think fair expectations are twofold. I think that the fair expectations is for you to go to the game as a fan and come out of there feeling like that your basketball team had good players. They played really hard. They won a lot of them, but they were very, very good. You lost them last shot or whatever, which like they did against Florida. And you got into the NCAA some. You don't get into the NCAA every year, but you got in on a decent amount of times. I think the thing that maybe fans don't understand is that, we should do this and we should do that, we should do this. Let me tell you something. The other 13 schools are saying the same thing. We should do this and we should do that, and our team should do this. In football, the same way. So everybody else is recruiting hard. Everybody else is trying to get their guys to play hard. It's not easy, and you have to take. I think the football atmosphere that you have at Alabama, which is at a lot of schools, and you have to take that football atmosphere and you have to do everything you can to use it, to use that to your advantage, to make. To whatever, in my particular case with Coach Bryant there, we tried to ask Coach Bryant to do what he could to help us, maybe meet a player, meet a family, something like that, call a player occasionally for me to let them know that we were trying to have a good basketball program. And probably like that with Nick Saban as well, since he has the same, type of ability or reputation that Coach Bryant had, so... I would think the expectations are to see that your team play really hard, get towards the top of the league as best you can, and get to the NCAA some.
Is it harder at a place like Alabama because football is given so much attention?
Well, I don't know that. I think what you do is this. You try to get the best players in your state, and hopefully you try to evaluate them and get that. It's not easy. It's certainly easier at Kentucky than it is in Alabama. But you try to get the very best players in your state, and then you try to get somebody else around the area that's good that you think can play for you, and it can meet the expectations that you want for your team. So is it harder? Oh, it's not easy. Basketball recruiting is a difficult thing. Here's your problem. when I was a coach for other, for two other coaches before I got the job, and when I got the job, we had freshman teams for a lot, for a long time. So when we said, when our basketball program was struggled 1 year, we said, well, we got a couple of freshmen coming in next year. We're going to, I mean, a couple of freshmen that are going to be sophomores next year, they're going to really be good. Well, they don't have that now. The big, the biggest deal in college basketball today is that the women have 15 scholarships, the men have 13. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. The women, the men should have as many as the women. And we're doing that because of football, I guess, because of the numbers are different in football. And so, you know, in football, we have 50, we used to have, when Coach Bryant was there, 55 scholarships. Today we have 25. Well, a little bit different for Nick and them in football. There's only 25, you know, 25 scholarships. So whoever you select, you need to hopefully you can select the right ones. When you if you make a mistake in a numbers game, you might miss on two or three. But you make a mistake in a short numbers game, like in at Alabama, when you sign three in 1 year, and you happen to make a mistake on two of them, then you got yourself real problems if you do that 2 years in a row. I'm not saying that Alabama has. Alabama's got some good players, but it's, you know, you've got to be correct in order to keep your program at a high level.
But, Coach, and maybe a final question. Talking to Coach Wim Sanderson, the winningest Alabama basketball coach in history. Nobody did it better than Coach Wim Sanderson, selling the fans, promoting the program. Coach, is it fair that the fans are calling for Anthony Grant's job as this team continues to struggle in year number six?
The one thing that I'm on a lot of shows, the one thing that I don't do is I don't try to decide, you know, what the fans want and don't want from the position that I'm in.
Sure.
I don't do that. First of all, I don't coach this team. I had a very, very hard time coaching my team. I struggled coaching my team. So if I couldn't coach my team the way I wanted to, then I can't coach his. So, and I also have a real, you know, I don't really, not say listen, you hear that stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I think that's for the administration, for the people in the higher spots that I'm in to decide, you know, what's good and what's bad. Hopefully he can get it going to the point that they turn the corner a little bit, but, you know, I don't make judgments against coaches. I never have done that, and if I ever have done it, I certainly did by mistake or didn't mean to, because I don't really like to judge other programs and the way they run their thing. I ran mine the way I think we should run it. I got criticized a great deal because of the UAB thing. I didn't want to do this, but it was my program. It wasn't anybody else's, it was mine. And I'll run it the way I wanted to run it, regardless of what people wanted. You know, you need to do something well if it's good for basketball. You need to play UAB. I was doing something what was good for basketball. I liked what I was doing. And that's the way that's what I did. So that's the kind of attitude I had. Now I'm a little bit of a different kind of guy, I guess. But, you know, that's my feelings.
Well, Coach, and I'll just give you a positive interaction. As I was telling folks, Coach Sanderson was going to be on with us tonight. You got a lot of fans.
I appreciate it. I had some good years there, and I had one very disappointing year at the end of 1992. I won't get it, but I had some good years there, and I enjoyed them, and I worked for two other coaches and tried to do well, with a good assistance at our places, good players and good trainers and managers. So, you know, we did what we thought was best for basketball. I missed having the opportunity to coach there, but one of these days it'll be what it is.
Coach, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
You're more welcome. Thank you.